Blog Talk Radio.
You are nobody until somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You are nobody until somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. Now you may be king, you may possess the world and its gold.
Good job.
Gold will never buy a happy.
You're awesome.
When you're growing old. Is the same. You'll never change. Just as sure as the stars shine above, well, you are nobody until somebody comes and loves you. So find yourself somebody to love. I said the world, it still is the same. You'll never change.
Wonderful Michael Bublé. Boy, if he doesn't get you in the mood, I don't know who does. Anyhow, hello everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're listening to us via Blog Talk Radio. It reaches the world, the internet, a wonderful, wonderful way of social media. My name is Darcy Butkus, and I will be with you today for the next 2 hours of our show, and I welcome anyone to call in. We have got some fabulous speakers coming on today from the hours of 12 noon to 2 p.m. scattered throughout. If you need the phone number, I will repeat it throughout the radio show, and I'll start right now by giving you the number. Area code 347-324-5517. If you wish to speak to myself or one of our guest speakers, you press the number 1. Press 1. That will get you into our switchboard, and you will be speaking to our producer, Rachel, or our other producer, Sherry, and they will screen your call. So we've got an exciting 2 hours ahead of us, and thank you all for listening. This is my second radio show. I've been a guest speaker in the past with Barbie Nemeth from Chit Chat, but this is my second show with the help of my good buddies out there in the dog rescue world. So thank you. You know who I'm talking about. Starting today at 12:15, we're going to have the director of Palm Beach County Animal Care and Control Services, Diane Save, and Captain Dave Walensky. He is the field operations manager. They will be coming in at 12:15 today to speak to us on behalf of what they've done for our animals, dogs and cats, and what they've done to change the laws. I'm going to speak on a specific subject with them, which we will talk about when they come on. Once they call into the switchboard, the producer, Rachel, will alert me, and we'll begin from there. After their segment is over, I'm going to bring in somebody who I find to be a fabulous, reputable, legitimate rescue here in South Florida. I want her to have the floor. She will come on and speak at around the 1 o'clock hour. We've got to give a little bit of leeway. For example, I know that the person who we're going to speak about at 1 o'clock, the animal rescue, she is at Hollywood Animal Hospital as we speak right now with one of her rescue dogs. So we will talk about that. I welcome people to call in. This is an open forum, and this is something that I want to help educate myself in the aspect of animal welfare, animal well-being, and to talk to those that are more experienced, such as the Diane Saves of the world and the Captain Daves, and I appreciate their time coming onto our show. I will always start the show with a song. And as you already know, my first show was with Michael Bublé, Feeling Good. And today, the show again started out with a Michael Bublé song. Matter of fact, he is originally from Canada, just a little bit of tidbit of information, and he will be coming down here to South Florida in November. So hint, hint, if hubby's listening, that would be a great little early Christmas present. Anyhow, I love the man. He's great, and he reminds me so much of the old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra. So let's get back to what I want to talk about today, and that is animals and what we can do as a group to help spread the word. As you recall, my first show aired on May 15th, and I apologize because last Wednesday I was supposed to come on the air, and I had just returned from my older daughter's graduation from NYU in Manhattan, and I brought back the bad weather with me. It was rainy, cold, miserable, and I got a little bit under the weather. Not only did I feel a little bit under the weather, but one of the producers was sick as well with a stomach bug. So we decided to postpone it, and I apologize for that. But here we are up and running today, June 5th. We know basically why we're here today, and that is to help educate the public and make the community aware across the board on everything based when it comes to our domesticated animals. I'm going to focus mainly on dogs, and also we're going to touch on cats. And there's going to be a lecture, a speaker program, a segment geared toward cat rescues. And right now we have to do our due diligence and to make sure whoever we bring on board, we do our own homework, we check references, and we make sure that that particular rescue is legitimate and it is reputable, okay? Because we know, especially down here in South Florida, we've got some that aren't so up to par. And that's what this whole radio show is about, exposing the good and exposing the bad. So we'd like to talk about more of the good, but we have to be honest and share with you what we've seen, what we've witnessed, what we've been able to gather among a team of wonderful people that I work with, and we all do this on a volunteer basis, what information has been collected, what has been gathered, what has been seen. I want to talk a little bit before our guest speakers come on. Miami-Dade had supposedly they were going to vote. If anybody is familiar with this pet trust ordeal, I am still trying to wrap my arms around it. I printed out some information, everybody, and there was an article in the Miami Herald today about Miami-Dade delays vote on animal welfare funding. Now, if anyone is experienced, I welcome you to come on to the show and share your thoughts with us. I think maybe the next show I'd like to interview Mr. Mike Rosenberg or Rita Schwartz. They were there at the commissioner's chambers, and apparently this occurred yesterday, and they postponed the vote. They tabled it for 2 more weeks. If you feel like you want to call in and share with us some of your knowledge, we would greatly appreciate it. Again, the number is 347-324-5517 and press number 1. Press the 1 button. I printed out the article, and basically what they would want to do is the county would be able to increase property taxes at the rate of $10 per $100,000 of value to improve animal welfare, amounting to some $20 million annually, with the average property owner paying $20. That is peanuts compared to what, if this really kicks off and what they want to do, this is phenomenal. Basically, what they want to do, and let me read to you, as you know, and if you don't know, Alex Muniz is the Animal Service Director for Miami-Dade Animal Services. He said the full commission would vote at its next meeting on Muniz's 40-page report, which suggests ways to recruit more volunteers and foster homes, increase the number of sterilizations done at the shelter, establish the trap-neuter release model for reducing feral cat colonies, buy more mobile clinics, set up off-site adoption centers, run education programs, and provide sterilization surgery vouchers for private veterinarians. So this was in the Miami-Dade Herald this morning, and apparently it's been tabled for 2 more weeks. Most years, at least 35,000 unwanted cats and dogs enter the shelter. Most of them are feral cats. Michael Rosenberg heads up the Pet Trust organization, and he was very angry, needless to say, because they apparently, let me read what it says here. Rosenberg said his anger stemmed from the last-minute nature of the commissioner's decision to delay after his group met individually with each commissioner and came away feeling as if the vote would go through. So there are some organizations that apparently are opposing this. I don't really understand why. Again, I don't have my arms wrapped around this, so I'm not experienced, but I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a no-brainer that this should be implemented because Dade County has got severe problems. And we know, it's been written in the papers, a couple articles, that volunteers are going down to the Homestead area, the Redlands area, which is in South Dade County, for those of you that don't live near South Florida. South Dade County is at the very end of the United States, and they have a severe problem with people just letting their dogs wander loose, and this has got to stop. I don't understand why they don't implement stricter penalties, stricter laws to go after these people time and time again. I have friends, I have neighbors that own second homes down in the Keys, and they will tell me, Darcy, when we head down to the Keys, and it's usually down in the Homestead area, they will see dogs just roaming loose. I just saw a Facebook posting earlier today. Somebody put out a warning. 5 dogs, pack of 5 dogs, running loose around Chrome Avenue. Chrome Avenue, again, dog lovers, that's also down in South Florida, South Dade. So it's a horrible problem. And they need more manpower down there to spearhead this severe problem. And just to add to that, I was on Facebook right before I came on the radio, and in my news feed, I'm not going to mention the person that wrote it, and there's a picture, and all you see is of a gentleman with his body, his neck and head cut off. He's got two gorgeous German shepherds sitting side by side. One is on his left, one is on the right. You see him sitting in the chair. You see him wearing some type of like work boots, pair of jeans, a gray t-shirt. It's got some wording on it. And you see a gorgeous German shepherd on the left and one on the right. The one on the right, his right, looks sad. He's sitting. He looks older than the dog on the left. But these look like, to me, German shepherds. And I'm going to read exact words what this particular person wrote. And I'm going to have to use a little bit of a swear word. I'm sorry, but I'm going to quote, unquote. P-O-S alert. And we know what that means. Piece of blank alert. One of the many assholes dumping their dogs this week. Congratulations, Miami. You have outdone yourself. This was the highest intake of pets in many years. I wish they would have taken a picture of his face, so if I saw him, I could punch him in the face. It says fact, but punch him in the face. Damn it. That's what a concerned dog lover wrote. And if you just look at that picture and you see the dog on the right, German Shepherd, his one ear's up, his one ear's down, he looks sad. And these animals know, their sense, as you know, their sense is unbelievable. And they know when they've entered into something that they're not happy about. And this dog, this one dog particular, does not look happy. So with that being said, do we have our guest speakers, lovely Rachel, producer? Can you come on the air and tell me, yay or nay, have they logged in yet? Miss Rachel, if you could go, there you go. I see you coming out.
Yes. Hello.
Okay, thank you, Rachel.
Not here yet.
I'm sorry?
No, they're not logged in yet.
Okay, honey. Well, they're supposed to come out around 12:15. I gave them a window of 12:15, 12:30. All right, honey, put yourself back on mute. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So here it is, gang. I'll tell you who our producer is for filling in for Robin King today, since Robin is under the weather. Rachel is my new college graduate from NYU, and she is home just for another week or so, and then she goes off to London again. But she is filling in. We did a test run yesterday with Blog Talk Radio. I have to tell you, I am very impressed with Blog Talk Radio. Their customer service is second to none. It's inexpensive to host your own show. There's a little getting used to it, and I know I have a long ways to go, but it's just fun how you can put a song at the beginning, and I know you can do different audio and different noises and all that throughout the show. I'm not equipped yet to do that. I don't know how to do that, but I'm learning as I go, and I thank you for being patient with me. So with that being said, I want to talk more about this pet trust and what could really, this to me, adding money into the pool to help spay and neuter these animals are absolutely crucial. So with that being said, I really would love to hear from any of you out there if you have more experience with that. And maybe this would be a good takeoff of what we can talk about at our next show 2 weeks from now. I think that would be great. And I really would like Mike Rosenberg or Rita Schwartz. Actually, there's a picture of Rita sitting in the commissioner's chambers, and she's sitting there with the spokes dog, Peppy Sal. Peppy Sal. And the reason why they named the dog Peppy Sal is by reading this article. Let me go to it. Here it is. Okay, her name is Rita Schwartz. So she's holding the dog, and they named it Peppy Sal. I saw after Commissioner Jose Pepe Diaz, who with Commissioner Sally A. Heyman championed the measure, hence the spokesdog's name, said they've been getting calls from interested parties, including rescue groups and veterinarians who took issue with specifics in the report and wanted changes. So apparently these other organizations started stating their own opinions, and they felt that they wanted to gather as much information from other sources to listen to what they had to say and postpone the vote for another two more weeks. Some 65% voted in support of the non-binding referendum question November 6th. I want to make sure, I just got a phone call on my cell, and I want to make sure that it wasn't our director calling. So I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to put myself on mute, and I'm going to make a phone call. So I'm going to put back on Michael Bublé, but this time you're going to hear Feeling Good, okay? So let me go ahead and make this phone call. Bear with me. Thank you.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new.
Okay, everybody, good news. That was the director from Palm Beach Animal Care and Control Services, and she is calling in as we speak. There was just a little glitch. They had the wrong number. So bear with me. You're going to hear the director from Palm Beach Animal Control Care and Control Services, which I'm excited about. And I'll give you a little brief summary. I basically sent them an email a couple weeks ago asking them if they would be so kind to come on the show, and I'm very excited and grateful. So in about another minute, I'm suspecting that they are, yeah, they're in the switchboard right now, gang. Everybody, they are in the switchboard. So Rachel's going to probably bring them here. Let's see here. Okay. All righty. Rachel, are they ready? You need to put them into microphone, honey.
Yes, so they're ready. Are you ready?
Okay. All right, Rachel. Go ahead and put them on microphone, please. I'll do it. Okay.
Darcy, this is Diane.
Very good. Hi, Diane. I can hear you. Thank you so much.
Great. I'm here with Captain David Waleski. He's head of field services for our shelter, Palm Beach County Animal Care and Control.
Well, I made the introductions earlier, and I was just telling our audience how excited and appreciative I am for both you and Captain Dave to, you know, step away from your busy schedules and talk to us. As you may not be aware, this is my only second show discussing animal welfare, animal well-being. I'm a Broward County resident, and I've only been involved in dog rescue for about almost 3 years. And I've learned so much, Diane. I have learned so much, good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly, of what people do to their animals. I must have been living in a bubble before I stepped into the dog rescue world. I am so excited to have both of you on. And Captain Dave, thank you. Thank you so much. I had prepared both of you, as you know, with some emails that I sent along through your administrative assistant, Brenda.
Right.
And I did a little bit of my own homework to recap what I remember that stemmed back in January of this year, the 28th. And I want to speak about your laws in general, but I also want to speak to you and the captain about what occurred that was aired on Channel 10 back in January about the guard dog situation in Dade County. They interviewed Diane. They interviewed you, Diane. Am I correct?
Yes, I'm searching back in my memory banks, and again, because we're such a large agency, when you were mentioning those dates, I drew a blank, but I do recall that now, yes, because Broward was looking at adding laws to protect guard dogs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I pulled up your laws last night, sitting at my kitchen table, and I was extremely impressed. What I was told by a member of Palm Beach County who now lives in the Carolinas, you, along with your team, had community input on changing the laws in an aggressive but positive manner for these guard dogs. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that for me?
I can. And what I can tell you is that guard dogs were not on our radar. And my firm belief that guard dogs are inherently and historically not on the radar of most enforcement agencies. We automatically assume that these are dogs of high prestige, that, you know, that are working dogs and well taken care of. And what we found was that this was simply not the case. And the way that this came about and that we are very grateful to is a small group of women that noticed guard dogs in areas that they frequented, and they brought this to our attention. And not only myself, but Captain Wileski, I mean, we actually started going out on our lunch breaks and so forth, taking a look at the living conditions of some of these animals, and they were absolutely correct, these few women were. And so we sat down and we went, you know, this is absolutely not what we thought. These dogs live a horrific life. They're not well taken care of. They really don't get veterinary care. And many of them die on the job from neglectful and, you know, are not conducive to not just working dogs, but to any animal.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I know that when I pulled up just that section of your laws pertaining to guard dogs, I was so impressed. Veterinarian requirement every 6 months, must see a veterinarian every 6 months.
Right.
Aggressive, but in a positive, aggressive manner. And when they aired that, I was disgusted. And there was a concerned citizen, just like the women that came to you and to your people, how they're actually, they look like German Shepherds. I know I'm going to botch the name. They're Belgium Malamutes. Am I pronouncing it?
Malamois. I botched the name, too. I constantly call them Malamar, which is a cookie. they're Belgian Malamois. But what we found was that in Palm Beach County, guard dogs aren't limited to that breed. We found that guard dogs up here were whatever dog that people were finding on Craigslist. Free mean dog to good home.
Wow. You know,
these dogs are being taken and put into service as a guard dog. But mm-hmm. It wasn't any particular breed. We found all sorts of breeds.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what they did for that segment that you were interviewed on? They had the news reporter, and I think it was J.C. Birch. She does a lot for the animals on Channel 10. They had the sign right there, the phone number of the gentleman that you guys basically chased out of Palm Beach County. come to find out, he has some type of a record. He's got a bad past, and so he decided to pack up and leave Palm Beach County, thanks to all of you and your hard work and the community's hard work, to speak on behalf of these animals, that he got chased out of your county. And where did he go? He came down to Broward, and he's operating in Broward in Palm Beach. Now, I pulled up Broward's laws for guard dogs. Excellent, just like yours.
Right.
Very thorough. Covers every aspect for the most part, from what I looked at. I mean, I skimmed over, but there are section after section within that pertaining to guard dogs. Then I went to Miami-Dade early this morning, and I'm looking and searching. Chapter 5 is all about animal laws for Dade County. Honestly, I may be wrong, but I couldn't find anything. And that's why I welcome our listeners, if they know something, to please call in on the radio show. I looked. They talked about tether laws. They talked about selling animals, breeders, all that. And I couldn't find anything pertaining to these guard dogs. So here we are, June, okay, 5 months after the show was aired. I know for a fact that with that phone number, standing there, and it was really deliberate, in my opinion, of the phone number of the operation that puts these dogs on these lots, and the one was about a used car lot. I know, I'm sure, that many dog lovers called that number, blocked their number, and called. Because I did. I did. I was furious when I saw that. It looked like, Diane and Captain Dave, it looked like a dog was kept in an outhouse, a Jiffy John. That's the type of conditions that this poor woman looked, and she was pleading for help. Now, you tell me 5 months later, how come Dade County hasn't changed their rulings? So that bothers me. That bothers me, because now we're into June, and this aired the end of January. There is nothing, and again, I may be wrong and I missed it, but I looked through all of Chapter 5, and I did not see anything, so that troubles me. But what you did was terrific. My question is, how long did it take to implement these new laws once you discovered this whole new thing about guard dogs?
Approximately 1 year. And
so it did take some time. Okay.
Time, but part of that time was what I call discovery. And when you come across the situation, you, especially in writing laws or looking at creating new laws or anything, the theory of every action causes a reaction, you have to be very aware of that, because any laws that are changed or added will affect many, many, many other laws. But when we first got the complaints in, we needed to make sure that this was just not something isolated. And so literally several months, if not longer, was spent working with these women who were advocates for these dogs in the community. And my cell number and Captain Wileski's cell number was available to them. And anytime they would see an infraction, they would call us up, would go out, and he or I personally, showers, weekends, you name it. And, you know, this was during this stage of discovery to see what's really going on out here in this community, and why is it a problem, and can we just simply educate people who are owning these businesses? Because you would always much rather try to just work with people as opposed to automatically creating more bureaucracy in creating more laws.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found was the laws really did need to be changed. And that does take some time, because you've got to have workshops with your county commission and your community leaders, and you've got to see if they want to give direction to do this. And our county leaders, when the plight of guard dogs was brought to their attention, they were unilaterally supportive and said, do what you need to do. And we did have some opposition to it, but the opposition and the logic behind the opposing views simply didn't pan out to be better than the quality of life that needed to be given to these animals.
Mm-hmm. Was it more than one operation running this guard dog business?
No, there were several.
There were several.
There were a couple of companies in Palm Beach County.
Do you find that once you presented the facts to these companies that they became compliant with what you wanted changed?
No, not in the beginning.
Wow.
One company did, and one company continues to operate. And my understanding is the other company did leave Palm Beach County and no longer has guard dogs in our community.
Mm.
But, you know, you have to – everyone who uses animals in business either looks at these animals as simply a piece of property that is there to make money for them, or they look at them as a valuable yet still piece of property that they need to take care of in order for that piece of property to make money for them.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is not to sit here and judge what their philosophies are about animals. Our job is to make sure that animals are cared for and afforded a humane existence.
Okay. That brings me to another set of questions. And with that being considered property, my question to you, is that a Florida law or is that per county? Because I know in Broward and Dade, an animal, a dog or a cat, is considered property. And I just hate that word.
Well, we can talk about that a little bit. And I think that people should debate it a little bit because it has – There are some good reasons for that, and then there are some detrimental reasons. But I believe that animals are considered property nationwide. There may be some communities that have established animals with a different definition, but for the most part, nationally, animals are considered property. Now, when we debate, is this right or is this wrong? I'm not sure that there's a clear-cut answer on it. I can tell you that our cases are sometimes easier to process and prosecute when an animal is considered property because our laws state that even though it's property, you've got to take care of your property.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, many people object to the wording of property. They don't like that wording, but yet my guess is, and I could be wrong, and you could have some callers challenge me on this, but for the most part, if someone says, if there's a crowd and there's a dog there and someone says, whose dog is that, and it's your dog, you would probably say, oh, that's my dog. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Which means that the dog belongs to you. And
correct.
For the most part, something that belongs to you is considered your property. So, again, I understand the philosophical want for people to say, I'm their guardian, this is my companion, and so forth and so on. But I'm not certain that in doing that, that it may make our job a little bit harder to prosecute people. It would certainly mean rewriting most of the laws.
Wow.
Doesn't mean it can't be done.
Right.
But, you know, I understand that. And I don't refer to my dogs as property. But if someone says, is that your dog? I go, yeah, that's my dog.
Right, right. Now, property is for me, that to describe an animal, which is, in my opinion, a part of your family.
Right.
And I have three dogs of my own, and two of the three sleep with us, and they're just a part of my family. And when I hear people that say, oh, our dog stays strictly outdoors, never comes inside, I have a problem with that. And for them to call, you know, to use that word property.
I differentiate between that. My dogs are my family. Captain Walewski's dogs are his family. You know, all of our dogs sleep inside, sleep with people. But the way that we look at this, and especially dogs, is I view dogs in two ways. I view dogs as family dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I view dogs as residential dogs. And the difference between the two is a family dog is just like what we talked about. It's part of your family. Now, some people may make it a little more a part of their family than other people do, but it's still a family dog. It's cherished. It's looked after every day. It lives inside, what have you. A residential dog, on the other hand, is a dog that lives outdoors. Typically, it receives little social interaction from people other than feeding. Many times, the dog lives at the end of a chain, and its purpose is to warn of someone who might be trespassing or what have you. And what we find with residential dogs is that they lack that social interaction of a family unit, and that eventually care of residential dogs declines over time. And as they are outside more and more, exposed to the elements, you know, the medical care becomes a little loose, flea care becomes a little lax, and eventually residential dogs simply sort of become part of the landscape out there. Maybe the dishes aren't cleaned properly, maybe the water bowls are green, they're not fed every day. And, you know, these are the dogs that, for the most part, go on to become aggressive dogs,
yes.
Territorial
yes.
dogs, and almost every dog fatality has been perpetuated by dogs such as this, human fatality. Not everyone, but for the
mm-hmm.
most part. So
mm-hmm.
that's how I view it. I try to avoid the word property, but I do talk about family dogs and residential dogs. And try to explain the difference to people in the hopes that when they're acquiring a pet, that it's going to be part of the family and not eventually become part of the landscape.
Beautiful. Yes, that you said it perfectly, and not part of the landscape, but a part of the family. I have questions that I have for both of you, but before I get to those questions, this is a question as well, but I want to know, Diane, how long have you been doing this and a little bit of your background, if you could share with our listeners, please?
Sure. I have, actually this August will be 11 years that I've been doing this job. I took this job in 2002 with the intention of only staying a couple of years until they found a real director that was willing to stay. I had been on the advisory board for Palm Beach County Animal Care and Control for about 8 years before taking this job. And during that time, there were multiple directors that came and went. And so the universe kept putting this in my path. And after being asked three or four times would I consider this job, I finally had to question why it kept being put in my path. So I did take the job, but I only intended to take it for a couple of years until they could find what I termed a real director, because my background was not animal care and control. For the 8 years that I was on the advisory board, I had founded, raised the money, and operated Palm Beach County's first wildlife hospital. And my background, it was in wildlife rehabilitation, but also business. My family had a local business here that was successful enough to give me the opportunity and the privilege to be able to go out and look at what the community needed back then. And at that time, it was definitely lacking a wildlife facility in our county. And I got involved that way, and through circumstance, was asked to sit on the Animal Care and Control Advisory Board. And again, as things sometimes happen that you could never predict, I ended up in a job that I never would have dreamed that I would have accepted.
And 9 years later, you're still there.
No, 11 years later.
11? Oh, I miscounted. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. 11 years.
11
years.
So
you were coming in as an acting director until they found somebody permanent for your position.
I came in as director, but I told them I would just stay until we found someone good. And it's almost 11 years later. And it's a calling. I firmly believe that it was a calling. I don't hesitate to talk about that. There was a reason that it kept being put in my path, and you know, whether we want to call it, you know, the universe, the gods of animal control, whatever we want to call it, they were determined that I kept bypassing it, and they were going to keep doing it till it literally dropped on my head. And you know, and it has been a long haul. It's a hard job, both
yes.
my job, and Captain Walewski is my second in command here. It is not dull, but it is a very stressful job, and it's a job that most people look at and they assume that because you're in a position, especially a position where animals are euthanized, that you must not like animals, and that's how a lot of people view it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are some difficult parts of sheltering large numbers of animals, especially unwanted animals, but there are wonderful parts of this job, and part of it is being able to make a difference in the lives of animals, not just while we're here, but in laws that will go on, hopefully, in perpetuity, and benefit animals, you know, beyond our lifetime.
I have what I'm watching as I'm listening to you, and before I get onto this question, Captain Walewski, now you're next. I want to know about your background and how long, if you will kindly tell us and the listeners, how long you've been with Palm Beach Animal County Animal Care and Control Services.
Okay. This past February made it 18 years for me.
18.
I started here when I was 20 in the back taking care of animals and helping animals get adopted and whatnot. Worked my way up to animal control officer, did that for a while, just gradually kept promoting up and up. But again, I've been here 18 years. Prior to that, my background was more in, you know, at that point I was only 20, but my background was more in exotics and working at zoos and things like that. Currently, I'm also the president of the Florida Animal Control Association. Been on their board of directors for a few years.
For the state of Florida, for Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understood you correctly. And you are the field operations manager.
I've been doing this for 18 years now.
18 years. How many, I guess they're code compliance officers, work underneath you?
Well, it's broken out in different areas, but we have animal control officers. And when I'm fully staffed, I have 19 of them. One of those is dedicated to nuisance dog barking. Another one is dedicated to all the animal bite cases, coordinating the quarantine of those animals. We get about 22 to 2,400 animal bites a year. We do our best to try and resolve those over the phone if they're household bites, you know, things like that. But
mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that leaves 17 that we scatter among the 7 days a week that we provide coverage, the multiple shifts. So we don't end up with very many covering this giant county, but we do have, when I'm fully staffed, I have 17 out on the road. Not all at one time, of course. They get days off and things.
Sure.
But right now, out of those 17, four of them are in training. So, you know, we're not always functioning at full capacity. Beyond those 17, we do have seven positions that we consider to be our next level. They're our sergeants. They're the next level of investigations. Out of those seven, two of them are dedicated to dangerous dog cases. They review all the animal attacks that come in, and they determine what meets criteria for classification pursuant to the ordinance and to the statute. Three of those seven are assigned to animal cruelty. So they cover a certain area of the county, and they're focusing on prosecuting animal cruelty cases. The remaining two out of those seven are focused on our commercial licensing and enforcement. They are the ones that are doing the inspections on those guard dogs, also regulating pet shops, boarding facilities, groomers, stables, you know, the full gamut of animal industry in Palm Beach County with dogs and cats and other stuff. And that's pretty much what my resources are here for enforcement.
You know, Captain, you mentioned gigantic county. I believe, and I used to live in Boca for many years. I lived in Loggers Run when it was first built. And matter of fact, I just got word from my producer that we've got a caller calling in asking to speak to both of you. So I'm going to bring her on in a minute. But, Captain, isn't Palm Beach County one of the biggest counties, not only in our state, but possibly in our country?
Yeah, from what I hear, it's the biggest county east of the Mississippi. But, yeah, we're definitely the biggest one in Florida by landmass for sure.
Okay, I thought so. I thought so. I've got a couple questions, and I'm sensitive to both of your time restraints. How much more time can I have you both, realistically, be honest with me, because I want to bring in this caller?
I'm here. My next meeting is 3 o'clock, and I have to be out of here by 2:20.
Okay, and I've got somebody else coming in at the 1 o'clock hour. So if I keep you for maybe 15, 20 more minutes, is that fair for both of you?
Yeah, that's about what I can do, though.
Okay, Captain. What I'd like to do, Producer Rachel, will you bring in, please, Joan? I believe Joan is on the switchboard waiting to speak to the Captain and to Director Diane. Can you bring her on live, please? Okay, Joan, are you there?
Hi, Darcy. It's
hi,
Joanne Goodrich with Destiny for Dogs. How are
you?
Oh,
hi, Joanne. Oh, good. It's Joanne. I thought it was Joan from Bradenton. Okay, Joanne, how are you?
I'm doing good. Great show. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
The reason I wanted to just call in is to thank Diane and the Captain for everything that they do. I am a rescue partner with them, and they are so awesome to work with
you.
Everything that they do. I met Diane a very long time. In fact, my Joey bird, I adopted from her when she was with Ocean Impact about 18 years ago. So.
Oh, hi. I know who's on the phone.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to just say that I wish the other shelters were run the way that you run Palm Beach County Animal Care and Control. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank you. I know I thank you all the time, but I wanted to do it on live radio because you're truly an asset to the county and everything that you do. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for saying that. And just so that I can at least say, we don't ever sit in judgment of what other shelters do. We know that they all have a difficult job, and there are times that people look at us and they think that we're great, but I can tell you there are days when we can't get out of our own way either. And anytime you've got a facility as large as this and 23 or 24,000 animals coming through, it's difficult. And there are other counties that may not have the political leadership that are giving them the support that they need. And sometimes that's a challenge in different counties.
Indeed.
But thank you.
Joanne, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, and Darcy, thank you for everything that you're doing to save precious lives. You're greatly appreciated.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much, and I'll be talking
right
to you later. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a good day. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, Joanne.
Bye-bye.
Captain and Diane, I have a question that somebody is in the switchboard on the chat room. They want to know what your numbers are for dogs and cats coming into your facility on a yearly basis. Do you have that number by chance?
The number of animals coming into our shelter is 23 to 24,000. Now, that's not limited to dogs and cats. Many shelters across the country and in Florida only handle dogs and cats. Palm Beach County, again, is a huge county. Very large equestrian areas in our county, agricultural areas. We're very diverse. So our shelter, while those numbers are predominantly dogs and cats. There's still a fraction of that that would be horses, birds, rabbits, sheep, llama, goats, you name it, chickens.
So that all is run under your operation?
Yes.
So we're not just talking dogs and cats, we're talking...
That's correct.
Okay.
Pretty
okay.
much everything except lions and tigers and bears.
I don't believe you heard earlier when I opened up the show, I was talking about this pet trust that is predominantly in Miami, but somebody in the chat room said it's also for Broward. Are you familiar with the pet trust fund?
I am.
Well, previously, prior to my May 15th radio show, there was a segment about Miami-Dade Animal Services and how they bring in 30,000 animals a year. And I believe it is primarily just cats and dogs. I may be mistaken. They have 300 cages at the shelter, which do not cover the amount of animals that are surrendered there on a daily, weekly basis. Out of that 30,000, 40% get the death sentence. You are a euthanized facility. You euthanize the animals.
What I can tell you on our euthanasia numbers is that of our dogs, let me digress just a little bit. We are no different than any other shelter that is open admission, meaning you take whatever comes to your door.
Okay.
And the most at-risk animals in our shelter are dogs, specifically large dogs. And if we want to be more specific, it's pit bull type dogs and cats. We work with about 70 rescue organizations, and we have no rescue organizations that are dedicated simply for cats. So virtually no one comes for the cats, and very few people will take the pit bulls. But of our dogs that come in that are adoptable, and when I say adoptable, I mean these are the dogs that did not come in hit by car, they're broken to pieces, or they're aggressively trying to eat people or contagious to the point that they cannot be placed with the rest of the shelter because of an outbreak fear. But our adoptable dogs, 70% of those dogs are placed.
70% of the dogs are placed.
Right. And our goal is, in 10 years, is that it will be 100% of adoptable dogs are placed. Well, 100% of animals that are adoptable. But cats are going to be a huge challenge for us because the cat situation is out of control everywhere. It absolutely is.
So when an owner surrenders a dog, I'm going to focus on a dog, at your facility, how much time does that dog have? Is there an assessment period? Or if that is an owner surrender, does that dog have a chance of getting adopted?
In fact, owner surrender dogs can get fast-tracked into the adoption program. And we have to, let's make the assumption that it's an owner surrender dog that comes in that's healthy and it's not suffering from a chronic medical illness that will make it difficult for us to adopt. If it's sterilized, it gets a medical exam and immediately goes into the adoption program. If it's nervous, if there's some questionable behavior, it goes and gets time to calm down. That could be 24 hours. That could be a couple of days. We have people that go out and work with our problematic dogs. An example are small dogs, because many of your small dogs come in and their life has been turned upside down. They're confused and all they have is their attitude and they try to bite everybody.
Aww.
And you know those little guys sometimes take several days to calm down, and during that time we've got people that are trying to work with them and get them into the right frame of mind. Failing that, they go on a list that goes out to all of our rescue partners saying, you know, frightened, not doing well in shelter environment. And, you know, we put a plea out for people to come and take those. The small dogs, we rarely ever have difficulty with rescues taking. It's when we get into the bigger dogs that have
Sure.
problems that
Sure.
that we have to make those very hard decisions.
I would have to assume that every dog that walks through that shelter has got to be a nervous wreck. They sense something's not right. Their owner just dropped them off. They don't know where they are. They're scared. They've got to be nervous.
Well, you know, a high percentage are. But the interesting phenomena that I've found since working here is that dogs like pit bulls come into our shelter and they're happy as clams. So, wow, this is kind of cool, you know. A lot of people paying attention to me. This food is really yummy. I get treats handed out to me. I get these special Kongs with peanut butter in them every day, and I get to go out into a play group with 20 other dogs and romp around and have fun for a few hours. And so I'm quite amazed at some of the attitude of the dogs that people fear the most. They
I
come
know.
In and they're the least problematic animals that we have many times.
Here's another question that I have asked, and this probably could be for the captain. What procedures are put in place when a call comes in regarding animal abuse? Maybe neighbors call in and see a dog constantly chained, maybe a little underweight. What procedures are placed?
Okay, most calls come in by people calling our main number and then following the prompts and getting connected to our communication section. Our communication section is a staff of 9 people spread across 7 days, multiple shifts. So we generally have, on average, between 2 and 3 of them in there, and they handle about 10,000 phone calls a month. Out of the 2 or 3, one of them is dedicated to officer safety and has to communicate with the officers and make sure they know where they are at all times. But the others are there for phone calls. Unfortunately, under Florida Sunshine Laws, everything we do is record, and we are prohibited from keeping secrets. It has current for some people to make a complaint. We do accept all animal cruelty or neglect-related complaints anonymously. Those are actually the only ones we accept anonymously. We accept them anonymously. However, our phone lines are recorded for quality control issues. So as a partnership, we have partnered with the Crime Stoppers because we were dealing with a lot of scenarios where, you know, a teenager that was being abused wanted to report her stepfather for, you know, how he is aggressive with the dog. But there was a lot of concern about her voice being in the recording, you know, and being provided to him later, but there's actually nothing we can do to prevent that. So we partnered with Crime Stoppers, and people can now make their complaints anonymously to them, and then they forward it to us, and therefore there's no phone call trail of that we would have to produce. The third way phone call or complaints come in are through our email. You know, we do get quite a few from there as well. Emails, of course, are public record. But we do get a lot of complaints. The complaints are prioritized based on the severity. If the animal is injured and in distress, you know, through whatever way, if it's, you know, tied, if it's locked in a vehicle at the mall, you know, it gets as quick of a response as we can give it. If we can't get there in a quick manner because maybe we only have one person covering south of Lake Worth Road to the county line, we may ask a local police department to drive by and determine how urgent it is while we try and get there because, again, we're not emergency vehicles. We got to stop at red lights, obey the traffic laws, that type of situation. You know, but the calls do get prioritized, and, you know, we get serious stuff that comes in, and then we get kind of routine welfare checks that come in, and, you know, we sort through them, and we get there as quick as we can, and we resolve them as quick as we can. Unfortunately, we deal with a lot of people that aren't home, so each one of these complaints may generate 20 to 30 visits until we can effectively resolve it and interact with the person while they're home.
Or what if, Captain, that there's a lock on the gate and you can't get to the entrance of the house? You have to be, from what I've heard, you have to be welcomed in. You can't just go in there and, you know, provide a search warrant of something or another. You have to be...
Absolutely not. Yeah, we do have to follow, you know, of course, constitutional rights that are provided to people with search and seizure. You know, but it is reasonable for us to try and make contact with somebody at their home. We're not going to go through a locked physically locked gate, but we would open a gate, go in and knock on a door, and, you know, try and interact with the person, and that's reasonable for us to do that. Anything beyond that, if we were to go, you know, into outbuildings or anything like that, that would be a violation of search and seizure. We would have to have a warrant to do that without consent.
Mm-hmm. Upon determining the degree or level of animal abuse that you have and your team have assessed, what penalties and or fines are given?
Okay. Most of what we do is civil ordinance violations, and under state law, civil ordinance violations cannot exceed $500. So Palm Beach County, we have a escalating fine structure where a first offense citation would be for animal neglect would be a $100 fine.
Mm-hmm.
And a second offense citation, if you commit a similar violation in the next 12 months, you would go to second offense, which is $250 fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, in the 12 months, it would go to $500. After that, it would be a mandatory court case.
Are you saying within 12 months goes to $500?
I'm sorry?
Say that again. Within 12 months, it goes up to $500?
If you recur, if you create another violation or commit another violation in a 12-month period, it would escalate to a $500 fine. And then after that, it would become a mandatory court appearance.
Okay.
That's the ordinance violations.
Okay.
You know, so if something was more egregious, you know, we're not sworn law enforcement. We do not have arrest powers. What we do is we work very closely with the law enforcement, with the sheriff's office and a few of the other municipal law enforcement agencies. They will make arrests for egregious violations. We will work with them on that. If it's not something that they can make an arrest for, if it's more of a misdemeanor offense or if it's more of an ongoing neglect case that has escalated, then, you know, where it's not aggravated cruelty. You know, aggravated cruelty is generally where they will make arrests.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, we filed directly with the state attorney's office, and we work very closely with them to prosecute these people for the offenses that they've done.
Captain, can you expand on what you mean by aggravated cruelty for the listeners, please?
Aggravated cruelty would be when a person intentionally harms or causes the cruel or repeated infliction of unnecessary pain or suffering to an animal. We'd have to prove intent.
Okay.
Would be somebody who does something very, very egregious and very intentional to an animal.
Well, that's perfect timing because I was just sent a note from my producer. I've got somebody on hold. Her first name is Joan. The other caller called in was Joanne from Palm Beach County, as you know, Destiny for Dogs. This woman, Joan, I'm going to bring her on the air. I will do that right now. Joan is on the air. She's from Bradenton. I want her to share with both of you her story, and I want your input on this. Joan, go ahead. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Thank you for taking time to answer my question. I have a situation where I obtained a dog from Miami-Dade and was told via third parties that this dog had its back legs, back feet cut off, so it would not climb a chain link fence. And it was admitted, the dog was an owner turn-in, and he admitted to chopping the dog's feet off so he would not climb the chain link fence. So my question is, I know it's a kind of a two-sided sword. Do you prosecute anybody turning their dogs in across the board? How do you prove it? Things like that. And I'd like some more explanation of what, in your opinion, would have happened if that came across your desk.
Dave and I are both about to answer. The answer is yes, we do. We do recommend prosecution, even if people surrender their animals, but each case is individual, and we have to look at the case individually with the state attorney's office.
Okay.
I would encourage you to go back to Miami-Dade and do a records request for all information pertaining to the impoundment of that animal.
All right.
Just because I have seen so many situations where somebody finds an animal with a wound and then assumptions are made. You know, I mean, I have heard of people doing insanely crazy things, but the odds of it being legitimate are less than assumptions.
Sure.
Joan, can you tell the director and the captain where this dog has been from that point of his life to now where you have him, what all was done for him, because this is a little bit of a happy ending for somebody, that this poor animal whose legs got chopped off from the irresponsible owner.
Yes, the dog is now named Fabio, compared to Kotoko, which stands for Stumpy in Portuguese. And Fabio has gone to New Orleans to be rehabbed at Dag's house, be fitted with little prosthetics for his feet and a wheelchair to protect his back for the rest of his life. And he's been adopted by me. So it's a happy ending for a guy that had a tough start and certainly a cruel experience in his life, but he's a happy little guy now.
How old is he and what type of dog is he?
He is a four-year-old Maltese that weighs 8 pounds.
So apparently he was climbing up, I'm assuming, like a chain-link fence trying to get away?
That is what they told me, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they said that they weren't willing to press charges because it was, like you said, a double-edged sword?
Well, that there are members in the community that have a belief that it is okay to injure animals, and that if they allow these people to at least turn the dogs in, the dogs have a better life. If they are the members of this particular community group are afraid of being prosecuted, then why not shoot the dog in the head, throw it in the dumpster, or throw it in the Everglades? So that is the explanation that was given to me of why the lack of resources, both financial and personnel.
Well, I believe it has a lot to do with lack of resources and lack of personnel. But how mindless of somebody to say, I mean, you're saying the community's belief. What community? Who thinks that way?
Let me interrupt for a second.
Go ahead.
Captain Walensky, I firmly believe you should do a records request because
all
government agencies must act under transparency. And, you know, you certainly have the right to question that. And by getting a records request, you could ask questions to people in charge and maybe get some better answers. I'm not sure if this was a staff person telling you this or a volunteer or what, but I would ask for the complete record on the dog from the time it was brought in or any previous records of visits or complaints to that location. Am I correct?
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, to take a close look at that. I mean, I can tell you in Palm Beach County, if somebody turned their dog in that they'd cut their feet off, they wouldn't leave our lobby probably unless in handcuffs.
Yeah, they're doing
absolutely. Absolutely.
Something like that. You know, we do have to balance sometimes where we get a lot of people that will surrender their animal to us for euthanasia, and sometimes it takes people a lot of time to come to terms with the quality of life that an animal is going through. You know, maybe, you know, the animal is no longer able to walk, no longer able to defecate or urine, and or it's urinating on the floor, and then it's causing skin problems for them. You know, and they just can't come to terms and say, you know what, I need to put this animal down. And sometimes we deal with staff who feel that they waited too long because the animal has been suffering for the last year of its life while these people tried to make that decision and come to terms with it. So we do have to balance through that and make decisions, you know, with our veterinary staff for what is cruel and what has the animal gone through and what is just, you know, a little more understandable for somebody having trouble making that decision.
Sure.
But blatant, something that ridiculous, if that truly, you know, happened, there would be no amnesty for something like that.
Okay. I appreciate your answering my question.
Joan, before you hang up, his prosthetics, Fabio's prosthetics, were donated by this place in New Orleans. Am I right?
The Moon Orthopedics, which is a human prosthetic maker in New Orleans, and Dr. Allison Barca, who made the prosthetic or who participated in Molly the Pony's prosthetic device. She was instrumental in leading this, and Kim Dudek of Dag's House, which is a rehabilitation house for dogs in New Orleans, drove this all, and it was just a tremendous experience, very positive.
Good, Very good. Good ending.
Yes, indeed. Joan, thank you so much. Thank
oh,
you
you're
for
very
calling
welcome.
In.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Captain and Diane, I know that time is ticking away, and I know, Captain, you have to go. Before I say goodbye to both of you, as I mentioned, I live in Broward County. I'm very familiar with Palm Beach County. I was a drug rep and used to cover the Tri-County area for 17 years. I know you're off of Belvedere. If I make an appointment, I'd love to come up and meet both of you face-to-face. Is that allowed?
Of course it is.
I would love to come meet both of you and just really shake your hands. You're doing an awesome job up there, and I'd love to have you on the radio show in the near future.
Thank you, and we'd love to do it again.
Thank you, and thank you, Captain.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you bet. Bye-bye, both. Bye-bye,
great
day. Diane. Bye-bye. You're welcome. Okay, let me go ahead and disconnect them. I'm going to put the cart before the horse. I want to share with you that I'm waiting for my excellent rescue that I rate A+. I will announce the name. It is Desi's Second Chance Animal Rescue, located in Delray Beach. She rescues a lot of her dogs and cats from Palm Beach Animal Control and Services. I've got her volunteer on the phone. I really wanted Jerry to come on after, but she's working and she's going to come on, and she's only got a few minutes. So right now I'm going to bring on Jerry. Jerry, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, listen, I'm putting the cart before the horse because Desi hasn't called in yet.
Okay, that's fine.
But I thank you for calling in, and I know you've got a tight work schedule. So basically what I want to share with our listeners is I always feel it's important to plug a reputable, legitimate rescue. I know, because I know firsthand what Sandra Desilon's all about. I've been to her home. I've helped her walk dogs. I've done fundraisers. I've done adoption events. This woman is amazing. She's taking the hard cases out of Palm Beach Animal Control, who we just got off the phone with the director and the captain of that facility. Class
yes,
act people.
She is.
So I am waiting any chance now for Sandra to call in. Oh, she's on the line. Can I bring her in as well, Jerry? Can I bring her in?
Sure.
Okay, thank you so much. Let me just tell her and give her a little. Hey there, Sandra, are you there?
Hi there, everybody. This is Sandra D. from Desi Second Chance Animal Rescue down in South County, Palm Beach County. I love the show, Darcy. They did a great job. Diane and the captain did a great job. I do believe it was me who you called to say, hey, I'm about to connect to Palm Beach County, and I gave you Marguerite and Lieutenant Kelly, and I gave you their numbers, and I said, tell them Desi Second Chance. And I believe that's how you got through, isn't it? You called Marguerite?
Well, yes, you're the one that gave me their names, and I did contact Marguerite, but she was away, so I spoke to her assistant. And everything fell into place. And I just want to really quick let you know, Sandra, that you've got one of your volunteers, the lovely Jerry's calling in with a tight work schedule. So I brought her on.
Hey, Jerry. Hey Jerry's
how
not
are
only
you?
I'm wonderful. Jerry is not only a volunteer. Jerry adopted little Mickey from our rescue. And I was going to say little Mickey came from Palm Beach Animal Care and Control, but he didn't actually. He was an owner surrender. Jerry actually is a huge part of Desi Second Chance Animal Rescue. She's a true rock of Gibraltar for me. I don't
well,
know
let me tell
that.
You this, because she's limited time, and I want her to speak on behalf of you, because this hour is dedicated toward you and your rescue, my friend, because I've seen it firsthand. But I didn't feel like just my testimony was good enough, and that's why I reached out to some of your volunteers. Jerry was kind enough to call me back or take my call. She is working. So, Jerry, tell our listeners what you have to say about this wonderful woman, Sandra Desilon.
Okay. I met Sandy back last October at an event in Jupiter, and I had previously lost a dog and was looking around, and we sort of clicked. Desi has such a passion for the animals. She loves them. She lives and breathes them. She just... It's unbelievable. Unless you meet the woman and you see she's just all for the animals. She has like 20 dogs and 10 cats. They're living in her house. She's rescued them from deplorable conditions. She works with them. She gets them so socialize. She works with their medical conditions. I mean, she's spent so much money trying to get them to where they're adoptable. They're the ones that would be put to sleep or thrown away. She goes
yes.
out into the street in the hood. She rescued a dog that couldn't even walk. And she's got him that his name is Chocolate, and she's ready for surgery. Both of her ACLs need to be repaired. She has another dog that she's had cataracts, couldn't see. She's had their cataracts removed, putting lenses in, been working with that dog for the last month and a half. In the meantime, she was attacked and had stitches, and she gets up every morning at 5 o'clock, takes care of the cats, the dogs, walks them. She does have some of the volunteers that can come and help. I mean, it's unbelievable what this woman does on her own. She's looking for a place because she wants to grow. She wants to do more for the animals. It's all about the animals. She had a successful career as an interior design. Her husband's a veterinarian. She saw what the animals were going through. Her heart and her soul were touched, and she's completely done a 360, and now all she does is give up her time, energy, sweat, tears for the animals. And Desi's Second Chance is a ground floor, just she's doing everything she can, and her dream and her passion is to get bigger, to save more animals. She's out there, and she's doing everything she can. She's a wonderful lady. She has a good business sense, and I see that this rescue is going to grow, and it's a great organization. I've been blessed to be part of, to do what I can do, which unfortunately, living in the north end of the county, I'm not able to come down and volunteer my time to help walk the dogs or do things like that much. I do what I can, but her dogs and cats and her rescue are in my prayers because she is phenomenal. If I could do what she could do,
wow,
I mean, all I can do really is give money and, you know, some supplies every once in a while. But it would be my dream to do what she's able to do. I know I don't have the energy and the time right now, but she is like an angel. She is an angel to these animals.
Darcy, I can't even speak. Here's...
Oh, okay. I know. Sandra, you got her all choked up, Jerry. You got her all choked up. I know. I know it is.
The more people we can get in there to help and be a team, the more we can help this rescue grow, the more animals we can save, and the more we can lift all of the responsibility and the weight off of her shoulders, because right now she is carrying so much on her own shoulders.
I know. And, you know, Jerry, on that note, because you do live north of the where she lives, and, again, Palm Beach County is a big county. We just talked about that with the captain and Diane. But every time I say Captain and Diane, I want to say Captain and Tennille. But I want you to know, and listeners, please, if you are interested in volunteering and you live in Boca Del Rey area, that would be ideal to help Desi's Second Chance Animal Rescue, because she is in desperate need of having people come and socialize with the animals, help walk the dogs. You're getting exercise yourself, people. So if you are interested, you can Facebook me, myself, at Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y, Odie, O-D-E, Butkus, B as in boy, U, T like Tom, K-U-S like Sam. Or you can just go right on to Sandra. Sandra, spell your last name for me, if you can speak. Sandra.
D-E-Z-E-L-A-N. And I also have a Facebook for Desi's Second Chance Animal Rescue. And we also have a website, www.desi-second-chance.com. Jerry, thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. I gotta go. I'm at a patient's house.
Okay, Jerry. All right.
Go in for my visit.
Thank you.
All right, Jerry. Thank you.
I love what you do, and I'm just so proud to be part of the team.
Jerry, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for adopting little Mickey. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your financial support.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the supplies you constantly drop off. food and supplies and laundry supplies and the money. She swings by every few weeks, and there she is.
It helps. It helps.
And I actually
we're all
have
part of the team. That's what it takes. We love the animals, and we're doing it for the animals.
And
God
Jerry,
bless you. I've got to go.
Okay, bye, Jerry.
Okay,
bye-bye. Right.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry just brought up little Toby.
Yes.
Toby and I are on I-95 heading back north from Hollywood, Florida to Delray Beach. And Toby was just seen by Dr. Rob Swinger, for the
yes.
one who did cataract surgery on him. And it's actually been more than a month and a half. It's been like 9 weeks. He really had a bad go at, he had cataracts and he did surgery. They put in new lenses. And then he developed ulcers on both lenses. And then they had to put disposable contacts on him. And a week or so later, he got a bacterial infection, which they couldn't control.
Oh.
He was back in the hospital for 5 days. And now, this is our second or third time down there in the past couple of weeks. He just told, Dr. Swinger just told me that his right eye is doing great and his left eye still has a little bit more to go. But this little dog and I have really gone through hell and back.
I know.
So,
I know.
Yeah,
is Toby the one, Sandra, that had the sign around his neck?
Toby is the one, he's the one who somebody said they were going to get me a dog that could see.
Okay,
the
neck. Surrendered at Palm Beach County, am I right?
It wasn't around the neck. That's what I was told, that they had, that they were going to get them a dog that could see. He was blind and he was turned into them. Just like I actually get a lot of my dogs from Animal Care and Control, or just like Jerry said, I just got chocolate not that many weeks back, a couple months back.
I remember.
We had to raise the money to do her surgery.
Well, let's
ACL
talk about her. Let's talk about her. Tell the viewers, the listeners, please, how you came about getting this dog.
I was on my way in Delray, taking a shortcut through Delray, on my way to Broward to participate in the rally. They were trying to ban pit bulls in Broward County, and I was on my way to the rally that morning, and I cut across.
Sandra? Did I lose her? Oh, boy. Producer Rachel? Can you come on the air, please? Did we lose Sandra?
Right.
Hi. Did we lose Sandra?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she was dropped.
Okay, so she's going to...
She calls back.
Okay, please, bring her back on as soon as possible, if you will, my dear. Thank you.
Sure.
Let me just... I think she's calling back, Rach. Bring her back on, honey. Bring her right on. I see. I'm watching the switchboard. Okay, she's picking up the call. I want everybody to hear this story. And I was there for the Broward County meeting. And unfortunately, she didn't make it. Okay, Sandra, are you there?
I'm back. Yeah, just like I'm sorry, the call dropped. I'm just, like I said, driving with
It's okay. It's okay. So you were driving through. You were taking a shortcut.
Taking a shortcut through Delray Beach to head down to Broward. I was trying to get on to the closest appointment to get onto 95, and I was talking on the phone to somebody, and I said, oh, wow. I said, wonder what the odds are going to be that I see a pit bull roaming the streets, and within 5 seconds out of the corner of my eye, what did I see but a dog dragging around, an American pit bull dragging around on the streets. I went around the corner. I came back, and what did I see in front of me? 7 guys. And I told the caller that I was speaking with on the phone, just stay with me. And I gave her the location where I was. I said, if you can't hear me or something happens, I called the Delray Beach Police. And I jumped out of my vehicle, my rescue van, and I begged them for the dog. I begged them for the dog. The dog was absolutely a mess. She was dragging her hind... Of course, you find out why she was dragging. Now she needs ACL surgery, ACL-TPO surgery. And she had, of course, eye infection, ear infection, no hair in the back end of her, down her tail. Her nipples were hanging all the way down because she was used to breathe. And one of the guys told me that she'd never been inside of a house. She just lived outside of a house, and they bred her, and they kept her outside the house. Well, I begged the guys to give me this dog. I had no idea her temperament. I had no idea, because I do have other Staffordshire Terriers and other pit bulls. I didn't know where I was going to house her, but that wasn't on my mind. The only thing on my mind was to save her.
To save her.
So I took her in. We did her blood work.
Wait, back up. You missed a very important part of the story. I remember the story because you shared it with me. You drove away, and you gave them your number. Am I right?
Yeah, I drove away a couple blocks, and I told them.
But what did you say
to
them before you drove away? You wanted to play cool, level-headed.
No, I drove away, and I did tell them if I could hear from them within X amount of minutes that I was coming back for her. But anyway, they did call me back, and they...
They did call you.
I was only a few blocks away. I begged them for that dog. And I basically said, they're like, oh, it's arthritis. I said, she doesn't have arthritis. That's why this dog can't walk. The dog was a mess. You know, sleeves and tick. It had literally no hair on its back end of its tail. And the nipples were hanging down. You saw her, Darcy. Right?
No, actually, I've never seen her because I was up at your place a few weeks before that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see her yet, and I owe you a visit as well. But how is she with the other dogs?
She's okay with bigger male dogs. I mean, I haven't really put her in with bigger female dogs yet. You know, she's had a lot of medical issues. I mean, I'm trying to get that addressed before I do temperament things. Like, she had to have her blood work done. I had to have her spayed. Then we did her vaccine. We did her heartworm test.
So she's not even near ready for adoption.
No. Uh-uh. We had a lump removed off the back of her neck. We had her broken teeth removed.
Wow.
She saw the surgeon for her leg. We did raise money for her surgery, but since COVID, eye surgery took a turn for the worse, and we had two other procedures after the main procedure. We used some of her money on Kobe's procedures, so we have to raise a little bit more money so we can have her field surgery done. But I did pay out of my own money for her vaccines, her rabies, her heartworm test, her blood work, her spay, her lump removal, her teeth removal. I did pay. I paid for all that out of my own money.
I have a question. If somebody is listening and they want to donate to your rescue, Desi's Second Chance Animal Rescue, and they may be a little reluctant to go through PayPal, can they call in a donation to Hollywood Animal Hospital where Toby's being seen, or another vet where your dogs are being seen?
They call into Hollywood Animal Hospital. I'm up to date with all my payments. I paid everything off. And I just walked out the door right now, and I just paid again. You know, I just walked out the door last week and the week before. You know, I paid every time I walk. You have to pay every time you walk out the door. As far as chocolate surgery is going to be done by Hanson and North Lake Animal Hospital, North Lake Emergency. That's where chocolate surgery is going to be done.
I know you don't have that phone number off the top of your head.
I do have that number. I do.
Oh.
I mean, I can get it in a second.
Okay, no, while you're looking, because somebody may be listening and say they want to donate, and I always tell people, if you don't trust the rescue, then don't directly deposit into a PayPal account, people. But I know, and I put my reputation on the line, that Desi's Second Chance Animal Rescue is top shelf, people. You heard it from Jerry. I tried to reach a couple other volunteers, and everybody, you know, is working or busy with their own lives. I would like to have them come on the show maybe for a later segment. But I can tell you, Sandra commutes from Delray Beach to Hollywood Animal Hospital. That is a 45-minute commute, and she's doing this all for what? For the animals. You heard Jerry. This is true about Sandra Desilon. This woman works her tail, pardon the pun, for these animals, and she is phenomenal. And I want the recognition for her. She's a good person. I respect her. I admire her. And I just got told from my producer that the call dropped again. So I know she is on 95, and I'm watching the switchboard, and she just came back on again. So she is phenomenal. And if we can help her help Chocolate, the dog that she picked up in a bad neighborhood, and
I'm,
you heard
I'm
all the
sorry.
Problems. It's okay. I'm just talking to the listeners that you heard all the problems that this poor dog has gone through. That dog, if it wasn't for Sandra, would still be living in those disgusting conditions. So let's help Sandra. If you have that phone number, Sandra, I would love for you to share that number with us.
Dr. Stephen Hansen, North Lake ER. And if anybody wants to donate, just say it's for chocolate surgery, Desi Second Chance. And his number is 561-691-9999.
Okay, repeat that again, please. Repeat the number again.
561-691-9999. It's Dr. Hansen, and it's for Desi Second Chance, and the surgery's for chocolate. We actually had 2 appointments scheduled for her surgery, but each time the money came out of her account to pay for Kobe's eyes. So I think we're just under $1,000 right now that we need to get her surgery
okay.
done. We've got the other money all in place.
If somebody wishes to make a contribution or a donation, they call North Lake Animal Hospital.
North Lake ER. It's an ER place that has
it's an emergency room.
Yeah, it's an emergency, 24 hours, and Dr. Hansen actually does all kinds of surgeries, including orthopedic surgery. He's already done other dogs' ACLs for us. So
okay.
we trust him, and he's kind to us. You know, we've been to other orthopedics locally that don't give us the break that Dr. Hansen does.
Well, that's terrific.
If $3,000 is a break, believe it or not, but I had the money raised doing fundraisers, and like I said, I did use it towards the situation that happened with Kobe. I had to dip into one to take from one. I had to see Kobe through. I have to see Kobe through. You know, chocolate can wait a few more weeks until I can get the money raised. Everything else has been addressed medically with chocolate, except for her leg. And then it's going to take months for her leg to heal. And once she's healed, she'll be up for adoption. She'll be up for adoption. You know, applications will be taken for her.
Here's a time. You've got something coming up this month. That bowling alley fundraiser.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
It's on July 20th.
Oh, next month, July 20th, next month, okay.
Yeah, it's in Margate, out of the bowling lanes of Margate, and I don't have the address right in front of me, but I'll post it on Desi Second Chance Facebook and the website. But it's July 20th, and the National Kitchen and Bath Association in South Florida, who I actually in the past was on the board of directors, because I am an interior designer, which I did give up my business. I gave up everything to rescue animals, but they are holding a fundraiser. It's going to be bowling and pizza and soda and cake and junk food and raffles and 50-50 to raise some money for Desi Second Chance. And we also are having our annual garage bake estate sale on July 13th in Delray. And a place in Palm Beach Home Collection has donated, I can't even tell you, half of a store for us to pick up.
To sell.
To sell. And Connie actually is an interior designer, and she's donated probably 200, 300 items. We have to actually rent a big box truck to get the stuff out of the store.
So on July 20th, you have a bowling
event,
fun day in the afternoon. I'm assuming, what time is it?
2 to 5.
Okay, so it's 2 to 5. p.m. Eastern Standard Time at a bowling alley in Margate. So you,
yeah,
please,
post,
if you will, post
I'll
that
post
on Desi Second Chance Animal Rescue. And then
okay.
on July 13th, the week prior, you're doing a garage sale.
It's not just a garage sale. It's like an estate. It's an estate.
An estate.
Garage
okay.
sale, estate sale. Because, again, everything that I own and everything that Connie has donated from Palm Beach Home Collection, we're both interior designers, and I had a 100,000 square foot showroom across from Dakota in Broward.
Yes.
I still have stuff in my warehouse, and I'm donating everything from that was left from my design firm to Desi Second Chance to sell, to raise money. So if anybody's looking for really good stuff, really high-end stuff, anything, I just need to sell stuff to put money into the account for these dogs. in cats. Okay.
Well, if you need help in posting that, we can put it on the dog rescue page, The Good, the Bad, and Ugly of South Florida. We can constantly send out evites. I can help you with that because you've got to reach out by way of social media and get the people there because, by all means, we need to help the Chocolates of the world. We need to help the Tobies of the world. And most importantly, we need to help you, the founder of this fabulous rescue organization.
And, you know, it's me here every day that eats, drinks, and sleeps with these animals. I do have a couple volunteers that come and help walk at night. I do have wonderful volunteers, including yourself, that help me do events on the weekends. But as far as I have to handle the applications and I have to call them
for
the pet
Even if you have somebody come in and help you do administrative work, Sandra, even if they can donate 2 hours of their time a week, that helps Sandra tremendously, people. If you are thinking and you live in the Boca del Rey, Boynton Beach area, this would be great. If you've got free time on your hands, 2 to 4 hours a week, that's all we're asking, please.
Somebody
it would be such
post stuff on Facebook. I mean, even the people who donate stuff, look for their thank yous up on the Facebook page. It takes me sometimes days to thank them. It's not that I don't appreciate their checks or their dog food or whatever, but my first concern is caring for these animals. I have to get these animals out. I have to get them bathed. I have to get them walked. I have to get them fed. I have to get them medicated. You know, that comes first. Then whatever ungodly hour it is, I try to say, you know, post and say thank you on Facebook. And by the end of the week, I have to get them ready for adoption events. You know,
right.
I have to get them bathed. I have to get them there. I have to get them unloaded from the van. I have to get them set up. I have to reload the van. And it doesn't stop once the adoption event's over. I have to come back and take care of 20 more animals.
Well, hopefully, Sandra, with listening, the viewers are out there. They're listening. I see the chat room. There's conversations in the chat room I'm watching right here on the computer screen. I can see all that. I want to reach out to our listeners. I believe that there are people out there that can help. And if they're not the ones, spread the word. I don't believe that the general public is aware of the dire situation that we have when it comes to rescuing our animals, whether they're abandoned, neglected on the street, like Chocolate was, or surrendered, or the abuse that's bestowed upon them, like Joan from Bradenton testified to. This is horrific, but if we can educate the public and make the community aware that there are rescues like Desi Second Chance Animal Rescue that need our help,
you know,
can do it.
Darcy,
I mean, 2 to 4 hours a week.
Darcy, I'm one human, and like I believe it was last year or the year before, I rescued 409 animals and paid for everything myself.
2012.
So that was not the year before. Like 2 years ago. I took
okay, so 2011.
Yeah.
Well,
2010 to 2011. I was.
And keep in mind, everybody, she is a 501c3, so any donations, tax deductible, it adds up, tax deductible. It's important. 100%. She's a 501c3.
100%.
Is there anything else, Sandra? What dogs, name two or three dogs right now, because I only have about 15 minutes left on the air, that are up for adoption that somebody may be interested in adopting?
Little Q's up for adoption. She looks like a long-haired Dachshund. She looks like a combination between almost a silky hair. Instead of a long-haired Dachshund, sometimes her hair is coarse. So it almost looks like a Yorkie Dachshund. She's 3 years old. She's up for adoption. Got her from Animal Care and Control, Palm Beach Animal Care and Control.
What's her name?
QT. Yeah. I have Cookie, a Lhasa Apso from Palm Beach Animal Care and Control. Was an absolute mess when I took that dog in. Q's up for adoption. I have Little Pepe from Palm Beach Animal Care and Control. A little Chihuahua who's up for adoption. I have a Staffordshire Terrier that's up for adoption. I have a Yellow Lab that's up for adoption. Kobe's going to be up for adoption soon. He's a poodle from Palm Beach Animal Care and Control.
He's the one that is mending nicely from the eye surgery.
He's sitting on my lap. He's mending nicely. Yeah, he went through a lot. I just helped him through, but he's the trooper. He went through a lot.
Well, thank you for that name, because I have to, my rescue dog, Timmy, We named him Timmy for being timid. My Jack Russell we found in our backyard 5 years ago, and I kept him. He's now anywhere from 12, 13, 14 years old, and he's exhibiting signs of either glaucoma or probably cataract, and he's at that age.
I spoke to Dr. Swinger about you today.
Oh, you did? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I need to make the appointment, which I'll do when I get off the phone. I've got the name and number. But we've got dogs that are up for adoption, and they need their forever loving home. You would be doing a wonderful thing adopting a rescue dog, people. You really would.
We do have cats, too.
How many do you have left?
I think there's about, I think I have eight. I have eight cats now. I had 10. I have eight now. Right now, I have a lot of kittens too. So, and they're wonderful. I'm not saying that. I've had them since they were little, so little. Got them on the streets of Delray. They consumed my life for over a month. They Oh, they had so much going on medically. They're healthy now. They're healthy.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know we've spoken, and you had a bad experience with a foster. What about opening the opportunity to having possible fosters? Would you be agreeable to that?
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about the foster that gave the dog away to somebody the next morning? Are you talking about that foster? Because that's
yeah,
the only bad experience
yes,
that
yes. That is a one.
Yeah.
That is a one, which is wrong. I mean, let's be honest with our listeners. If you are interested in fostering, an application has to be filled out. This is not just, oh, yes, and hand the dog over the fence like some people we know.
Right.
Hint, hint. But, no, I mean, you have to be checked out. You have to – thank you. You have to be checked out. You have to have references checked out, credentials. Absolutely. We want to make sure that these
– this was a very prominent family that took this dog in, filled out the application, and took the dog in for fostering. And I even spoke to her. They took it on a Friday afternoon, and I spoke to her first thing on Saturday morning. And by 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, I got the strange, well, I won't go into it, but got the strangest phone call. Somebody else had one of my dogs. Right. I've only had one or two people ever foster, and I thought, of course, I could trust the person, and her daughter is my neighbor, and a very prominent family in the United States, not just South Florida. And she gave the dog to some lady, thinking that the lady might like the dog, without even calling me or asking me, just gave up a dog. I mean, what normal person would do that?
That's not acceptable. That's stupidity. That's total stupidity.
She didn't find anything wrong with it. I said, I'm sorry. She's like, I said, I'm sorry. Maybe I should have called you. I said, maybe you should have called me? After you think? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Anyway, even though you have applications and you check their homes and you think they're wonderful, prominent people, it's scary, you know? You have to hope that everybody treats the dogs once they leave your door like you treat them.
I know.
As a family member.
I know, and I know you do your home checks thoroughly, and I know you check references, which is critical in animal rescue.
I do home checks. We do vet checks. My husband, who is a veterinarian, calls their veterinarian. We have contracts. I do post-adoption checks. Basically, almost everybody who has adopted from Desi Second Chance has become a part of like a family.
Excuse me. Let me tell you about what networking does. Earlier in the TV, in the radio segment, Joanne Goodrich called in from Destiny for Dogs, also in Palm Beach County. We were on the phone about a month ago, and she says, do you happen to know somebody that can do a home check in Buffalo, New York? I'm like, what? Buffalo, New York. I grew up in Buffalo. I can name five people right now that I can call and say, hey, do this for my friend Joanne. Sure enough, we put the steps in motion. I spoke to my good friend from junior high school. She and her husband went to the home to assess the owners that wanted to adopt this wonderful dog that Joanne had up for adoption. Everything checked out. A-plus on the home, A-plus on the potential adopters. Transport was set up, and that dog is in a happy, loving home. But here it is. All of a sudden, just by way of asking a simple question, do you know anybody in Buffalo? Wow. Look what it stemmed. It got this dog a home. So networking, social media, I think is paramount. I really do. We've only got about 10 minutes left. Is there anything else, Sandra, that you would like to share with our listeners?
No, the only thing I'd like to say is, you know, we are a small rescue, and if you call and say, hey, I want to help, I want to help at an event, I want to help at an adoption, I want to help walk dogs at night once a week, once every couple weeks, you're welcome. I mean, you're welcome with open arms. I know a lot of other rescues don't get back to people, or a lot of other facilities. I hear it all the time. They didn't even call me back, and I'm offering my help. I'm here. I'll call you back. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You send me a Facebook message. You send me an email. You send me a text. I will get back when it comes to dealing with an animal or anything to do with an animal or helping an animal. I do get back to people.
Do you want to give your phone number out?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, everybody, grab a piece of paper and pen before Sandra gives a her phone number. And then again, as she's going to give you your phone number, again, the Facebook name is Desi's Second Chance Animal Rescues. Desi, D as in dog, E, Z as in zebra, Z as in zebra, Y, apostrophe S, Second Chance Animal Rescue. Please, if anybody's out there that can donate their time or spread the word, it's imperative. Okay, Sandra, your phone number is?
954-588-7045, 954-588-7045, and the website is www.dezzysdecondchance.com, thezzysecondchance.com. And
okay.
If anybody has any ideas for events, we'll be happy to partner with you, or if you have a facility where you want to do an event with us, for us, please, we're here. We'll do anything to keep going, anything to keep going.
Well, super duper.
Anything to table.
Sandra, thank you. I once my workload sort of lightens up, I owe you a visit. I'd love to come back up there and help you walk those doggies and enjoy playtime with them. That's always fun to socialize and to see you. It's terrific. So anybody, if you have any questions, or before Sandra gets off the phone, we only have 8 minutes left. If you want to call in to the show, the number is 347-324-5517. Again, that number is 347-324-5517. And press 1. You will be immediately put into the switchboard, and I can take your call from there. But if not, Sandra, I can't thank you enough on behalf of the animals for all you do. You're greatly loved. I know Palm Beach Animal Control, they love you because you do take some difficult cases, and you have taken difficult cases. And with the help of your husband, Mickey, a big thank you goes out to Mickey, and please let him know that I acknowledge him as well, because he's a saint.
Yeah, Marguerite definitely gives me some of the harder to place dogs. But once I have them and I handle them medically, deal with them, socializing them before they leave here, they're amazing. Sometimes they take longer than others, but hey, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I don't know what they've been through before they got to me. And,
right, you don't know. They can't. If they could only speak.
I don't know, but the only thing I do know is I won't give up on them. And thank you, Darcy, for being a voice for all of us who rescue. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You are the chosen one. You have been called.
You're sweet. Well, thank you, Sandra. Thank you. Those are kind words. All right, so I will let you go, Miss Sandra. Are you still driving?
I'm just pulling in. I'm literally just pulling in.
Okay, perfect timing, because we have less than 7 minutes, so I'm going to wrap up the show. Is there anything else, Sandra, that I please post on your, when you get a chance, or if you need me to help you, I can definitely help you post these events coming up. We've got to get the word out. The more people that know about it, the more chance donations will come through.
You know what I'll do? I'll send you the flyers for both events coming up, and
please
help me. Because
please,
it's just easy for me to click, you know, just scan them, email them to you, attach and email them to you, and you can help me.
And, you know, here's another thing that we could do. If you live in the Coral Springs Margate area where the bowling event is taking place, you could print out flyers and you could go around to shopping centers. I've done that. I've gone door to door. And you know what I find? Most of the merchants will allow you, unless it's against the shopping center's standards, most of them will allow you to take and place on their window storefront, because it's crucial that we get the word out. And if we can do it by way of a nearby shopping center close to the bowling alley, that's where we need volunteers. Take 50 flyers. So it's going to take you 2 hours of your day. I did that for Lovable Rescue. We did an event near actually, Sandra, you helped volunteer. You helped stay with the dogs. That was a nice event near Los Olas. I went up and down Los Olas with flyers. And guess what? They weren't allowed to put any flyers in the windows, except one yogurt place allowed me to. And everyone else put it in their back room so the employees could see it. But it's a way of getting the word out. So, Sandra, send me those flyers at your convenience. I'll get them out, and I can go up to Coral Springs. I live closer to Coral Springs than you do in Margate area. I'll be more than happy to do that, my friend.
Thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome. You have a great day, okay?
Okay, Toby and
all right, Sandra. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Anyhow, everybody, so that is it. We've got less than 5 minutes to wrap up this show. I would welcome, if you would like, to give me ideas or subject matters that you want to discuss for our next show. We're looking at probably 2 weeks from now. Today is, let me turn over my calendar because I still have it for May. Today's what, June 5th? Okay, so 2 weeks from now is May 19th. We're going to do another show on June 19th. June 19th. Where's this year going? So we've got 2 weeks from now to prepare. June 19th, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will have another show. Subject matter? I don't know. That's where I could use your help, fellow listeners. If you are interested in sharing something you'd like to speak about, I'm open to suggestions. So if you will, you can always Facebook me at Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y, O-D-O-D-E, Butkus, B as in boy, U, T like Tom, K-U-S like Sam. I've got two Facebook, Darcy Odie Butkus and Darcy Odie - Butkus. Either one, I'll get the message. So with that, I'm going to close it here. I think we did a great show. We had some great speakers on. And on to the next one. So with that note, for those of you still listening, I like to always say quotes. And I saw two that I want to share with my listeners. And I think I saw this on somebody's Facebook or email. It's a cross poster, and I wish I could give credit where credit's due. It does not even say who where the quote came from. Compassion is not enough. You must act. Think about that. Compassion is not enough. You must act. Think of the commercial with Sarah McLachlan singing, and I said this on my last show, you hear the song, you immediately get choked up, you don't want to watch, you can't stand looking at those poor doggies' eyes staring at you through those kennels, the look of sadness, despair, the look of giving up hope, the chance of ever being loved again. We must act on that. Don't turn your head. We must help these animals. The more people that know about it, the better. The next quote is by Martin Luther King Jr. I have it on my bulletin board here in my office. Never, never be afraid to do what's right, especially if the well-being of a person or animal is at stake. Society's punishments are small compared to the wounds we inflict on our soul when we look the other way. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm going to read that one more time. Never, never be afraid to do what's right, especially if the well-being of a person or animal is at stake. Society's punishments are small compared to the wounds we inflict on our soul when we look the other way. Well, I've got a little bug in my ear telling me we have less than 60 seconds. These 2 hours have gone by so fast. For my listeners, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for contributing in the chat room. And I bid you all a great day. And be kind to your animals, everybody. Be kind to your animals. Thank you for joining Paw Pals Listen and Learn, Darcy Butkus and her buddies. Have a splendid day. Bye-bye for now.
You are nobody until somebody